Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, it's a new year. It is 2019. Are you? Do you have any resolutions? Like, are you anything that you're working on?
My resolution is try to get better at making videos. You know me. I'm not a particularly interesting person.
No, you're one of my favorite people. I said this on the Locked On NBA show. I want to lose a chin. Like that's like that's my hope.
That's a good. I carry my weight like almost entirely in my stomach. Yeah. So perhaps not looking like a pregnant man would be a good New Year's resolution for me.
Jen, it's probably not a great sign when I go like, all right, yeah, my New Year's resolution is to lose a chin, and Jen's like, yes, thank you.
I think she's stuck with you at this point, so all she can hope for is improvement.
Yeah, right. She just either become a millionaire or lose some weight. That like one of those two things.
Right. Yeah. There's no opt out in her contract. There's no team option for her. So
especially not now. All right. So so today we've had what, 3 days off between Laker games? Yeah,
played on Sunday. This will be coming out on Wednesday. So
this is the cupboard is bare. It is a barren desert out there for topics. So
this is when you're at your best, though. I always tell you this.
just bullshit it. It's fine.
You're the best at talking about nothing at all, Anthony. That is not an entirely backhanded compliment.
I like the not entirely a backhanded compliment. But today, though, we figured out a few things to talk about to make the show interesting and get us ready for now. We are back to your regularly scheduled programming. It is shows every day. There are no holidays to speak of moving forward. And now is when the season, like, people start tuning in. But I always kind of say, like, especially with this year, you know how like you tell yourself, all right, you're going to be fashionably late to a party, and then you show up and everybody looks like appears to be having a great time. Like that's how people who start watching the NBA after Christmas, I feel like, they're walking on this. You know,
think of all the great things. So my favorite part of the NBA season so far, the 2018 mm-hmm. portion of this season, is the whole like, oh, I thought you meant Dylan Brooks. No, I meant Marshawn Brooks. That's the best damn, like league surprises me every year, makes me giggle. Like Josh Hart, watching Josh Hart on tape be a
high-five complete, himself.
He's such a cornball, and it's, like, great. I love how, like, unapologetically of a cornball he is. Yeah. He really leans into it. And so just things like that. I just delight in them. They're great.
Josh Hart reminds me of, like, that nerd who, like, wishes and hopes and prays that one day that they're athletic and then becomes athletic.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, maybe he's living some like, you know, Freaky Friday switch bodies type life.
Like total Fortnite.
That's a good theory.
Fortnite nerd who just like wound up being athletic and here he is, and he's like perfectly okay with it.
You know, he went to the same high school that the Obama kids went to.
Really?
In Washington, D.C. Yeah. Oh. It's just, I forget the name of it, but it's this really, obviously, really nice high school. And he tells this great story about one time how he was, like, running through the hallway and almost ran over Malia Obama and was, like, terrified he was going to get tackled by the Secret Service. Yeah. Was going to... No, he's just absolutely the best.
Yeah, I love that dude. Today, though, we are going to talk about Josh Hart a little bit. We're going to talk about all the kids. We're talking about Lonzo Ball's size in particular, Brandon Ingram's strong performance against Sacramento, and what we can take away from that. And then I don't know if you and I have really talked about the Anthony Davis thing.
I don't think we have, funny enough, yeah.
So I think that's what we'll finish up the show with, is this Anthony Davis situation. So fun show ahead. Today's show is going to be brought to you by Mizuma. More on them here in a bit. Let's start. I opened up the iTunes reviews, and I was just kind of quickly scrolling through them to see if there were any questions that mentioned guys or you know, the Pete and I. And it wound up being the very first review on that was left most recently. This is from Hooters. Thanks, Hooters. Appreciate you guys. Hi, guys. Love the podcast, especially after that Harrison guy left. That's just mean. What's one way each of the young players can be used better on the offensive end? I feel like they're all being underutilized. So, one, Pete, actually, shoot, we get this first segment kind of got away from me a little bit. So, we'll use the break to kind of tease this. But do you agree with the statement? Like, do you?
I only to some extent. I think our priorities as Laker fans are in the wrong place in a lot of times. So let's tease that into the break.
That's a good way to put it. We'll be right back here in a second. Today's show is brought to you by Mazuma. If you are a small business owner, we're talking 5 to 10 to 15 employees, and you are looking to get your finances in order, I need you to hit up Mazuma. They have CPAs, bookkeepers, and accountants all here in the United States, and within an email or text away or a call away, they're always available. They've been incredible with us, and they have packages starting at only $75 a month. And for me personally, like, peace of mind is priceless. So I want you to write this number down. It is 213-947-6926. Again, that is 213-947-6926. Give them a call. It's a no strings attached consultation to figure out what might make the most sense for you and your business. And I'm telling you, they are incredible at what they do. So give them a call. Bring in the new year with the peace of mind, knowing that your finances and your business's finances are in order, and start 2019 off on the right foot. All right, so I think I know where you're going with this, that to a certain extent, maybe they're being underutilized, but there's a giant but to mention here, right? Like, they're being underutilized for a pretty good reason.
Right, because LeBron James is the center of our solar system, in Lakers land. So there are certain things. So, for example, seeing Lonzo be more aggressive with more touches and all of that. And same thing with Brandon, right? It's a matter of how do we get them to play like that while having a reduction in their touches. Maybe one specific is on a lot of plays, Lonzo, when LeBron is healthy, that is, Lonzo will start and finish in the corner. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's the best utilization of him. I think one thing that Luke's done well has used Lonzo as a screener and be a guy, especially for LeBron, so that when LeBron draws that second defender off of the screen, you get the ball to Lonzo and he's got a lot of passing options out of that.
Yeah, there's a moving defense when he's catching
right,
the ball. Right,
exactly. And that's when he can really, his passing talent can shine. But in a broader sense of things, like I feel like there are tweaks that need to be made, but yeah, like LeBron is rightfully the center of what the Lakers do. I feel like this is part of our adjustment as fans to having LeBron. Is I feel like fandom with the rise of social media has become very much tied to winning arguments online or arguments with your friends or arguments with your friends online, right?
Yeah.
And you want to be able to be like, oh, well, he's putting up 18 points and 9 assists and 5 rebounds. Like these, all of these like objective markers of see the guy that I've rooted for all along. I was right. Right. Yeah. It all comes down to being able to say I was right.
Right.
But the reality is that everybody's going to get fewer touches because of LeBron. The Lakers are a better team because of LeBron. But that might mean that your favorite guy, the best version of him, is he's like a 13-5-4 type of guy while playing good defense and scoring with some degree of efficiency. But then when you see that other guy that's playing for the other team who's playing in the LeBron role and getting 90 touches per game, oh, well, he's putting up 21 and blah, blah, blah. He must be the better player. That ain't really how it works. And so it's like, are we rooting to be right? Are we rooting for our favorite players or are we rooting for the Lakers? And I think that what we should ultimately be geared toward is like the most success for the team, because everybody will get shine if the team wins. Mm-hmm. So I do think they're figuring out how to utilize them. And I do think they're underutilized in some ways, but not necessarily in the way that I think that's always meant.
Yeah, that's really well put. Basically, what it comes down to is like, on the best teams, the most sacrifice occurs.
Right. Mm, great way. Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, if Brandon Ingram wanted to be a good stat, bad team guy, he could very easily be that guy. Right. Like we know that. But if he wants to participate and help a team win a championship, he's going to have to sacrifice. Same goes for all these guys.
Yes.
If Kyle Kuzma wanted to average 30 points a night, that's great. He'd do it for a 30-win team and you would be able to move on. But for what the Lakers need for him right now, they just need him to be efficient in the little time that he touches the ball when LeBron or Lonzo rotates the ball over to him. That's how sports work. I remember I learned this early on in high school. I was an all right athlete, and I remember I had a head coach. I was really frustrated because I wasn't getting as much time as I wanted to, and my head coach was a douche, but my assistant coach, guy named Coach Moore, pulled me aside one day and he goes, "Hey man, any other year you'd be our starting point guard. Any other year you would, you know, we would utilize you a ton in various sets and situations and stuff like that. But we're a really good team." And I was like, one, that's really mean. Mm-hmm. But two, like, I get it. You know, at the end of the day, like, we're winning, and I'm not gonna make a bunch of noise when obviously whatever we were doing as a group that year was working, and it was a good year, and it was. I think it's a good lesson to learn, not just in terms of basketball or whatever, but just like period. Like,
no, totally.
Sacrifice matters.
Yeah, it does. It's hard to feel that way when you're young, and as a fan, it's hard to view your guy and the guy you've been pulling for, because that's the whole dynamic that has been created over 4 years of the Lakers tanking. Dude, we rooted for a lot of us rooted for the Lakers to lose basketball games the greater good of the franchise forward, right? So where are we putting all of our investment in when that happens? The guys that we got because of all of that suffering as a fan. Mm-hmm. And so we are really invested in those guys, man. Like, we really want those guys to do well. And it's hard for this dude, even if it's LeBron friggin' James, to come in from the outside and all of a sudden put
everybody in their place. Yeah, you weren't here with us when we were going.
You weren't here, right, exactly. And now you want this guy that I, like, was dying. And remember, the Lakers didn't have – it was only top three protected. So on top of all of the stress and the suckage of what rooting for the Lakers to lose –
there was a chance we wouldn't keep it.
We wouldn't even keep the pick at all. So when you do keep the pick, remember those three straight lottery nights? We're like, second pick, yes! You know, we were so excited that we got to keep the pick.
We got the Byron Scott winking gif.
Right, of course we were like, hell yeah, I want this guy to be the guy who leads us back to the promised land. Mm-hmm. That timeline's changed. Even if one of our guys or a couple of those guys eventually become that, they aren't that right now. Yeah. And they can grow into that over time. But so in terms of like underutilization and all of that, it's just a matter of like finding what fits best around LeBron. And not everybody really wants to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, next question here. It's again about utilization and usage of a player, but Lonzo Ball is a longer point guard, right? He's a legit, what would you say, like 6'5", 6'6", do you think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a big guard for sure.
And so there's a question here. I can't find the exact review that asked it, but do we think – oh, here it is. Do we think Lonzo should be utilizing his size more? The Lakers should be utilizing and trying to take advantage of the size that his size gives him offensively. We already see him do it defensively, but do we see it enough offensively, do you think?
Yeah, I agree that they need to do it more, and I actually would argue they have been doing it more in the last week or two. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they like Lonzo to rim run and then seal his man under the post. So you see this with LeBron or without him, where Lonzo will be the first guy down and then he'll get a much smaller guard on his back. We'll seal him, he'll catch it, and then we'll try to finish at the rim, or we'll kick out after the defense collapses. They've been doing that more and more. A lot of it's easy to, and I get frustrated too, and Luke gets frustrated, everyone does, with the blown layup that Lonzo has, right?
Yeah.
But he is finishing better and more often and using his size. He's putting guys in jail coming off of screens. We're starting to see like the first steps of that. So I absolutely agree that that's something that can be utilized more often. I think they're doing more of it. And it's what can kind of protect against for Lonzo before it's been like, if he's not making his threes, he's going to score 4 points or 6 points or something like that. The other night against Sacramento, I didn't think he played a good game at all, but he had five finishes in the paint. I think he was like 5 for 7 around the basket. We're starting to see a little bit more of that, but it's probably not to the point where it will be in a couple of months. What do you see in that respect?
It's just like we talked about a second ago with in regards to, you know, utilization and stuff like that. Like, my thing is, so long as Lonzo is improving, and he is objectively improving in that facet of the game, so long as he's improving, okay, then you can kind of push the envelope there a little bit as best you can. But for me, it's just like, I would almost kind of rather him focus on the things that make him a really good player as is. You know, the things that he does that make him a better fit around LeBron. He can still improve in other areas of the game, and he is. But I also just think it's like, just keep it. We've seen this with Brandon Ingram. Keep it simple, stupid. You know, like just make his development as easy as it possibly can be, and let him grow in those parameters.
Let's try to think of this from a playoffs type of standpoint. So my biggest concerns with, let's talk Lonzo, Brandon specifically in that, is that teams are going to cheat so hard off of Lonzo that he's going to be unplayable if he doesn't prove that he's able to score. Yeah. Like, I'm not asking him, right. I'm not asking him to do like crazy, just like make open shots. If you have a driving lane to the basket, drive until someone stops you. If they do, kick it out, right? But like, he doesn't have to create then and make everything happen, right? Like, that's going to be on LeBron's shoulders and other guys too. But just like, score when you're open at a reasonable clip.
Yeah.
With Brandon, my worry is, are you going to make the right play? Like, because that gets punished. You get your individual tendencies get schemed against. We always think of like, oh, we're going to stop the play that the other team runs in a 7-game series. But on an individual level, like, part of the reason you've seen James Harden not be as successful in the playoffs from an individual standpoint, and he's been very good. I think that narrative is a little oversold. But part of it is like all of the little tricks that he does to draw fouls. And
they don't get called for him in the playoffs.
Also, the player across from him, it's different when you see Harden once and then you move on to the next guy. Right. But when, like, you get used to that, you get, like, you are studying just for James Harden. Mm-hmm. That's not how teams prepare in the NBA. There's so many games that, like, yeah, the Lakers are game planning for OKC right now. But how much are they really, like, planning
you
just
can't tweak
for
it too
OKC?
Much because you don't want to go too much in the wrong direction for the next night that you're playing.
And you can't. There's not even enough time to do that that much. So by the time it comes to playoff time, like, Brandon's favorite moves, Lonzo, all of the things that they don't do well, they are going to be forced to do well over and over and over again. And so for me, that is probably the most important thing amongst the young players for like how they gear toward the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that was a little bit of a tangent, but that's kind of like where they're improving and being utilized. That's where the first place my mind goes is, where does this lead to come late April?
Yeah. I can't wait for the playoffs, man.
Oh, man.
I can't. Spoken from a Vikings fan who just devastatingly missed out on the playoffs this year, but that's what I get for rooting for the NFL. What an idiot. All right, we're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to open up the Anthony Davis debate. Pete, I think you and I look at this situation a little differently. You and I see this. I think we do. I think. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
All right.
So for Christmas, Harrison got me this Caron Butler bobblehead doll.
Okay.
And it's like impossible not to look at it while recording. It's so ugly. It's not even like, this isn't Caron Butler. Like, this is just like, you know,
bobbleheads are usually really hit and miss like that. I would,
this is Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, that's totally Jordan Clarkson. Yeah. It makes you wonder, like, what is the bobblehead making industry like? Right? Let's not go down this road. It just makes me wonder, like, if you can get that to print and produce, and like nobody along the way is like, nah, man, like, we need to do better than this.
Yeah,
just makes me wonder. Kind of, that might be an industry to get into if you're looking.
Bobblehead industry needs an editor.
It does. It does. Yeah. It's like someone got to show you that mold and be like, you've seen what the Caron Butler looks like, right?
Here's a picture. Like, Google him. All right. So I guess we'll talk about Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is currently a New Orleans Pelican. I think he's going to remain a New Orleans Pelican for the foreseeable future, at least until July 1st. And look, a great way to be made look like an idiot is by trying to figure out leverage in NBA trade negotiations.
Sure.
You can't do it, man. Like, we saw with the Paul George situation, we saw with the Kawhi Leonard situation, we're going to continue to see it moving forward. And so right now, I guess what it comes down to is, why would Team X do move Y, right? And so, like, for Anthony Davis, the Pelicans would make a move right now if they know, not think, if they know without a reasonable doubt that he's gone on as soon as he can be gone as a free agent. I don't think they know that yet.
Even if they did, why wouldn't they wait until the offseason?
Yeah.
Because of that weird quirk with Kyrie and all of that, mm-hmm. like, Boston can't trade for him right now. So if you're New Orleans and Dell Demps, wouldn't you want to wait until the most interested parties? And now Anthony Davis holds the cards ultimately in this, him and Rich Paul. And I do think that LeBron, him signing with Clutch is obviously, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, let's be real, right? Like, yeah. When something happens with Clutch, we know who's related to that, right? So he holds a lot of cards, and Dan Davis could be like, no, I only want to go to the Lakers, or I only want to go to the Celtics, or mm-hmm. whatever it is. If he's cool going to Boston or the Lakers, then New Orleans has every reason to just wait until now. The thing about the Celtics is they have like a 2 or 3 week window to execute this trade. If I could just explain that. So there's that quirk of the CBA where the Celtics cannot trade for Anthony Davis with Kyrie on the books right now. Yeah. Right.
Because of the supermax that Kyrie will be eligible for eventually.
Correct. But the problem is their trade assets are mostly draft picks. They have 4 picks in this draft right now. All 4, last I looked, were between the 14th pick and the 23rd pick. Mm-hmm. One of them is the Sacramento pick. So they've got along with their own, they've got Sacramento's pick, the Clippers pick, and the Memphis Grizzlies pick. Mm-hmm. But some of those picks are lottery protect. They have different protections on them, right? The one that they were really counting on was the Sacramento pick. That Sacramento was going to be really bad. They'd have a top 5-ish pick. Them not being really bad, and the 2019 draft is not considered to be very good. So the 14th pick, it's like an okay asset, but it's definitely not what they were hoping that it would be.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of okay assets. If they don't want to part with Tatum, and they don't, who knows if it comes to that. But anyhow, with their best assets being picks, teams, when trading for a guy, they want to be able to make those picks. It's one thing when it's the 14th pick for the Pelicans and they can choose whoever they want. If it goes and lingers on into July after that, that player's already been picked. You're picking for a specific person rather than the different option of a bunch of different guys mm-hmm. at that point. You know what I'm saying? So those picks lose value as soon as the guy is actually selected to other teams, because they have to then really like that guy for that to still have value. So on the front end, you got the Kyrie thing, and then on the back end, you've got the draft. So if Boston, who is the main competition for the Lakers in this, are going to be able to execute this trade, it's going to be something that's agreed upon on like June 15th, but not technically executed until July 1st or something mm-hmm. like that.
My thing is, I don't see the Celtics as the main competition for the Lakers for Anthony Davis. The thing, like, if Anthony Davis becomes made available, like, everybody is competition for the Lakers, right? Especially now that we're seeing Kawhi Leonard as happy as he seems to be in Toronto, Paul George re-upped in OKC, you know, like, these guys, like, they might think that they want something as soon as they become free agents. They might think that they want to be a Laker on July 1st, 2020, whatever it is. But their minds can change. And so, like, if I was some, you know, a smaller market team or any team, really, like, if I was Philadelphia, I would make Ben Simmons available for Anthony Davis. Happily. And or I would even make Joel Embiid available for Anthony Davis happily. And if that type of if those type of teams or deals become possible and viable, then it's not just the Lakers who the Celtics that the Lakers would be vying against. And I just don't see a scenario where those deals don't become like this is a top five talent.
Both yeah.
Reaching his 25-year-old season, he's under contract for the next season beyond this one. That's enough time to convince him to stick around or whatever. And so, because of that, I just think it's not so simple as on July 1st the Lakers have to worry about Boston. I think it's as soon as Anthony Davis says no to the Supermax, which it seems like he's going to, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the entire NBA takes notice and makes astronomically crazy deal offers.
I think the truth is somewhere in between. Your point is well taken that we've seen a couple of examples, right? Now, for one, Kawhi is not re-signed. And I think that that situation for Toronto had run into the same wall with the same guys over and over again. Mm-hmm. I thought that that deal was actually kind of brilliant from their end in that they got a better player in Kawhi, right? To where, and with LeBron leaving the conference, they have a legit shot to make the finals this year. Mm-hmm. The Toronto Raptors.
Win the finals.
Right. And so you've got, and I would argue that they do not have the same ceiling with DeMar DeRozan there instead.
Yeah.
So in their situation, they had real short-term incentive to get as far as they possibly can, further than they were with DeRozan. And DeRozan had a really monstrous contract. So if Kawhi walks, they are left in a position where they can credibly start a rebuild from scratch, right? Because they've gotten out of a contract, mm-hmm. which is not to say that that's all DeRozan is. DeRozan's a good player, but like it served two purposes for them. We don't know that Kawhi is going to resign. You're right, but with Paul George, though, right? Like he did resign in OKC mm-hmm. against all expectations. The reason I say I think the truth is somewhere in between is if you were a team looking to trade for Anthony Davis, how much do you bet on yourselves to that you can convince him otherwise? Right.
Because
you're risking giving up a lot for a guy like that and then him leaving in a year.
The difference to me here is the clutch situation. And I think that's why the league went out and complained to the league office about the clutch situation and LeBron tampering and all those things, because that's a legitimate factor, right? Like LeBron can make his case right now to Anthony Davis if he wanted to. Rich Paul can start to convince Anthony Davis right now if that's what Rich Paul thinks is best for his client. And
but why do you think he signed with Clutch in the first place?
Yeah, no, that's what the for me as a Laker fan, that is the point of that gives me the most promise on
sure.
in this situation. Like that sure. the fact that he is with Clutch, and we already saw it work out with KCP and LeBron, you know, and now we can see it to that same extent, but with an even better salesperson than LeBron compared to KCP landing Anthony Davis. And you know, if you're just card reading right now, if you're just reading tea leaves, the fact that the other executives around the league were trying to poke and prod the NBA into knocking the Lakers for some type of tampering thing that like would have gone against all precedent over the last 50 years of NBA free agency. That spoke volumes to me that the NBA is, you know, executives around the league are nervous that they're actually going to make this work. I just think this is such a complicated situation because of how great a player Anthony Davis is, how young Anthony Davis currently is, recent precedent with free agents right now, and really like if I was a team out there that you know I knew for a fact my ceiling was lower than I want it to be, that's a great reset button to trade for Anthony Davis right now, get rid of some stuff, and even if Anthony Davis walks away, you have flexibility to move forward anyway. And
I, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, and we're seeing that, like, that was the bet that Toronto made, was like, all right, we know Kawhi, or we know DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry aren't good enough to win us a championship. We'll bet on a single year of Kawhi Leonard, and even if he leaves, then we can hit the reset button completely and rebuild from there. And I think that we'll see some teams around the league kind of make that same judgment call and say, like, hey, we have a pretty good playoff team right here, but we aren't going to win a championship with this core. So we'll trade for 1 year of Anthony Davis, and then after he walks away, we hit the reset button and we try to rebuild after that.
That could very well, that's a good argument in that case. For me, the agent factor is what makes it different with Paul George or with Kawhi Leonard, mm-hmm. in that, like, Rich Paul and LeBron by extension, right? They are the guy, they view themselves this way as, like, they are shot callers. Yeah. They are going to be the guys who are making the decision.
Dude, the shop that LeBron puts on HBO is just like, is literally him just telling everybody, no. I'm the dude right now.
yeah, it is. And Rich Paul is very similar club. He's interesting. So where they have me sit at Laker games, Rich Paul's at a lot of games, and he's, like, very close to me. And I watch him a lot of times during timeouts. He's only probably 5'7", 5'8". He's, you know, slim, mm-hmm. whatnot. That dude projects power. Like, it's really interesting to watch him talk to other powerful people. These are courtside seats, right?
Yeah.
And so I have a hard time. It's different when it's Uncle Dennis or Aaron friggin' Mintz, right? Like, Rich Paul and by extension Clutch and LeBron James, those are different dudes. And part of you see even a backlash against that. You saw the comment in Eric Pincus's article about them being mob bosses and mafiosos, and I don't like that, right? Like, I don't like the whole criminalization, and that context.
Yeah.
But the point is that those dudes are the shot callers.
Yeah,
it ain't Uncle Dennis, it ain't Aaron Mintz, and so the idea of like going against their wishes and trading for an Anthony Davis for 1 year. On one hand, your argument's totally right. There will be teams that will be looking to do that. On another, you are playing a dangerous game if you're giving up much of value to go against Rich Paul and all of that.
Yeah.
You're in a dangerous place of letting all of that walk away.
One thing I think you and I will agree on, and we can end on this note because I think it's a positive one. One thing I think you and I can agree on is that the Lakers do make a ton of sense for Anthony Davis.
It really does. Because he's going to be the number one after a couple of years.
Yeah.
And obviously, Anthony Davis makes a lot. Here's the thing. This is something that I've gotten a
bigger... shocking hot take here. Anthony Davis makes a ton of sense for the Lakers.
Well, totally.
Yeah.
It's a matter of, like... And I don't want to talk about what I would give up, right? Because what I would give up would be the least amount possible to get the trade done.
Mm-hmm.
But... from seeing games up close as much as I've been able to and blessed to be able to over the last couple of years, I have a new appreciation for the difference between a superstar and an all-star.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Anthony Davis being on the roster, and the Lakers trading for Anthony Davis pretty much guarantees, since he's 25 years old, Lakers are going to have a superstar on the roster for the next 7 to 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And at the front end, they're going to have two.
Mm-hmm.
Look through the titles and the champions of throughout NBA history, though, that's what the profile looks like. You'll have your occasional Dallas 2011 that has one guy and then really good role players around him, or Detroit in 2004. But most of it's Shaq, LeBron, Kobe, Dwayne Wade, blah, 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 right? Like, mm-hmm. all of these dudes, Magic, Kareem, are littered throughout the championship list of NBA history. And being able to get two of the guys on the front end and a long stretch of having at least one, you make them move however you can.
Yeah, if the Lakers land Anthony Davis while LeBron is in town, they are the title favorite.
Agreed.
Like, that's just the math that works out there. And I also think, like, the fact that Anthony Davis has been this frustrated with his existence on the New Orleans Pelicans, like, that, again, when I say the Lakers make a lot of sense for Anthony Davis, it's not like me being homerist or Lakers exceptional that the Lakers are some unique situation or whatever. No. It's the NBA's marquee franchise. We're already seeing it with LeBron, where he recognized that the Lakers offer a greater platform that he has played for to this point around the NBA, whether it was in Cleveland, or in Miami. Like, the Lakers are just different. This show, like, this very show's existence, your and my existence in this industry, mm-hmm. is a statement to how special the Lakers are. And
I would argue on the flip side of that, that Anthony Davis is a guy who he's probably, like, the least star. Like, he doesn't have the amount of shine that other stars do.
Absolutely.
Probably more than any other superstar in the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think the Lakers just seem to make a little bit more sense for Anthony Davis than, you know, other situations. Even Boston, like, I think he'd be liked out there in Boston. It would be great for him to go to Boston and win a title or whatever. But just anybody who is not a Laker fan should probably turn this off right now. But the Lakers just... they're just different. Being a Laker is just different. And we're learning that right now with LeBron. We saw that with Kobe. We saw it with Shaq. We saw it like all these guys. Just it's a larger platform. If you're an athlete, if you're an NBA player and you're trying to figure out a way to raise your brand higher than just you as a talent in the NBA, like the Lakers have shown that they are the best avenue for athletes to do that. And for somebody like Davis, who has kind of trudged through mediocrity to this point of his career, not just in terms of success in wins and losses in the NBA, but as a brand, of course the Lakers are going to make sense for him.
And it's somewhere where, like, at some point LeBron's going to hand the baton off to him in terms of, like, it'll be Anthony Davis's team at some point if they make that trade.
Yeah, you and I were asked. Remember at Tom's Urban. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked, like, who's going to be the Lakers' second best player here in year four of LeBron's contract? And I said LeBron. LeBron. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. We are kicking off New Year's in a big way. It's going to be a really good... I think I have a good feeling. I had a good feeling about 2018 last year. I have an even better feeling about 2019 this year. So Happy New Year, bud, and I'll talk to you in a couple days.
Happy New Year, man.